we're going to go and try to survive for as long as possible by ourselves. It's like, why? I mean, you might as well just die. Completely severing yourself from the world and just living for the sake of not dying is stupid, really, when it comes down to it. In the initial phase of collapse, dictatorships are the most utilitarian ruling paradigm. So individual prepping versus communal style prepping. What's the difference? What are the pros and cons? Personally, I would not include anybody in my preparedness plan that wasn't outside my immediate family. Maybe your close friends, you know, lifelong friends. If you would entrust somebody to watch your kids, then maybe there's a good chance that they would be a good part of your preparedness group. But you got to be very careful, because trust is one of the most difficult things. If you would trust somebody to run a business with you and manage your operations, then maybe that's somebody you would could have in your group. Obviously, it's on an individual basis, but even if you know somebody as an individual, you don't know who their family members are, and they might not be as good-natured as that particular person. So you really have to do kind of background checks on people. You may know somebody who is great person, compassionate, trustworthy, competent, but what if they have a bunch of drug addicts in their family? That's going to be a burden that ultimately, if you're cooperating with that person, you're going to have to deal with. I think one of the main advantages of being a lone wolf is the ability to just do whatever you want independently. I use the example of Glenn in The Walking Dead, how his philosophy was that he's able to survive by himself. His post-collapse itinerary was fully under his control, and he didn't have to worry about that one clumsy person making a noise and attracting a zombie or something. You know, he could slip in and slip out of a place. His limitations were only due to his own incompetencies. But of course, the problem with that approach is that you don't get specialization, so you don't get the benefits of having a bunch of different people who all have a honed set of skills that you can leverage as a community to wage war against a group. And I guess you can only get to a certain level of technological advancement as an individual. As an individual, you might be able to build a log house. It might take you a long time, you know. But in order to get to the brick house level, you're going to need people who specialize in different things. You only get that in communities. You have to relinquish control if you want capability. And I think a lot of people, this is why they get stuck in business, is because they attempt to micromanage and they never relinquish control. And so their capability is always limited. Whereas somebody like Elon Musk, his real gift is not that he's super intelligent engineer, because he isn't an engineer. He is an entrepreneur that knows how to vertically build companies and delegate responsibility to subordinates who are able to enhance the capability. But the other thing is group politics comes into play. And so you really do need some kind of constitution amongst the group, and everybody has to adhere to it. If you are going to have some kind of post-collapse group, you need like a village charter of sorts that really stipulates what the rules are. And if there's a violation of those rules, there needs to be punishment exacted in some way, shape, or form, whatever that might take. And I'm pretty sure this is why law was created. In the tribe, things were unequal. So in order to ensure that you don't have those conflicts arising, you have to have some kind of agreed upon miniaturized version of the Constitution, and it has to be something that is democratically agreed to, at least if you want to truly maximize the specialization of a group. I think there's probably going to be a point during like the initial phase of SHDF where it's more of a dictatorship, because you're going to have like the strongest person kind of lead, and they're going to wield a disproportionate amount of power, and that's going to keep people alive at the start, and people will probably want that. But as time goes on, they're going to have to relinquish some of that power. We need a centralized power structure when the shit's hitting the fan. And the most centralized of power structures is just you as an individual. So, like, you make all the decisions. Whereas you just add one more person, and then it's slightly decentralized. Because even if you are the one telling that other person what to do, even if it's your child, you don't have complete control over what they do. You only have control over what you do. Now, the further you expand your group, the more decentralized it becomes just by definition. But in the initial phases of SHDF, where things are pretty chaotic, I think that groups will naturally be more dictatorial than they would be when things start to calm down, because you need that. You need centralization. You need somebody saying, do this, don't do that, for the sake of the group. In the initial phase of collapse, dictatorships are the most utilitarian ruling paradigm. But as things maybe start to calm down and it goes medieval, you still need a bit of centralized power, but you also have to bestow some of that power on the population. Because if it's too centralized, then nobody can specialize. It's just like what happens in communist societies, where things are so tightly controlled that there's no innovation, because nobody has like the freedom to be creative and dive into their area of expertise. Authoritarian societies have the upper hand when it comes to SHDF. In a democratic society, we thrive when there's abundance, when there's enough to go around, because we have a model that fosters creativity and innovation, so we can usually stay ahead of the technological curve. In authoritarian societies, in China, for example, where they have a lot of smart people there, but the threat of coercion, they're not going to maybe take those chances that you might in a democratic society that would allow them to make those technological leaps that we might make here, which always gives us an edge in good times. But when World War III breaks out, it's going to be like herding cats in North America, and everybody is going to be rank and file in China. You know, they're just going to all do their roles because they have a collectivist mindset. If you have a group that is very collectivist, I would say, you're probably going to be much better off in SHDF than you would be a group of freedom-loving individuals. Like, that's just probably not going to work. You only have that luxury of being the freedom-loving American if you have the edge that America has in global finance and geopolitics right now. You can't have that in a austere environment where people are trying to kill you all the time. You have to have one guy who's calling the shots, essentially, until things calm down. A lot of people are okay being followers, but you're gonna have people who are not gonna wanna be told what to do. I don't know what the recipe is for finding compatible people. You know, like, I would have a hard time being a part of somebody else's group, just being at the whim of somebody else's decisions. Just because it's in my nature, I don't like being told what to do. But some people are okay with that. And that's not a bad trait necessarily, because it's a collectivist trait. It's like saying, you know, well, Chinese people, because they're more communistic by nature, then they're at a disadvantage, when really they're not necessarily, because they reap the benefits of the group working together despite whether or not they may agree with the dictator, you know, like. The problem with lone wolf preppers is that you're a genetic dead end, for one. What's the point of just running out into the woods and trying to keep yourself alive? Like, that's stupid. You're just going to die anyways at some point. The universe is never going to have known that you existed. The whole point to prepping is at some point emerging from the lone wolf. You know, the lone wolf is a phase, maybe, where in the worst part of SHDF, you got to just be you or your immediate family. But this idea of completely severing yourself from the world and just living for the sake of not dying is stupid, really, when it comes down to it. It's actually contradictory to survivalism, because survivalism is about not the individual, but it's about the survival of the species. And it's really about your progeny's survival. It's about your family, your community. And this is why sometimes when I hear stories of people saying, yeah, like, we're going to go and try to survive for as long as possible by ourselves, it's like, why? I mean, you might as well just die. If it's just to ride something out temporarily, then yeah, that makes sense. I would say the more acute the crisis, the more you should focus just on you and your inner circle. But as things start to even out and stabilize, you'll definitely want to start to become a part of something greater again, right? So I guess there's a couple ways to view survivalism. You can view it from the very egocentric, just me, myself, and Irene, or you could view it from the perspective of a species survivalism. There's a time for lone wolf prepping, for sure. There is a time. Usually, that's when things are at their absolute worst, and you just don't know who you can trust. But as things stabilize, the competition for resources diminishes, or at least is lessened. It's easier to develop trust when times are good.
The best way to support this channel is to support yourself by gearing up at CanadianPreparedness.com, where you'll find high-quality survival gear at the best prices, no junk, and no gimmicks. Use discount code PREPPINGGEAR for 10% off. Don't forget, the strong survive, but the prepared thrive. Stay safe.